Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornelison, and you're listening to STEM Spots. With me in the studio today is Dr. Jim Crutchfield, who's a professor of physics from University of California at Davis, and is here also as part of the Telluride Science Research Center's workshops. Thanks for stopping by, Jim.
Oh, glad to be here.
So talk to us a little bit about your background. I think you're a condensed matter physicist. Talk a little bit more about that.
That's right. I've been interested in condensed matter physics and fluid turbulence and chaos for many, many years. And it's kind of interesting to be here in Telluride talking about some of the more modern consequences of those interesting theoretical ideas.
And you said chaos. Now, of course, that's interesting to me and interesting to people out in the general audience. Talk about how that plays into things.
Well, it's this interesting idea, or maybe the fair thing to say, it's an observation that many natural systems have strongly coupled components. And when systems are strongly coupled, what happens is that they can amplify very small variations, perhaps even below things you can measure, up to macroscopic scale, at which point you think, my goodness, I didn't predict that because I didn't know where it started.
Now, of course, a lot of people talk about chaos and this whole idea of initial conditions deviate strongly from final results. How does that work?
Well, the idea goes back actually to a meteorologist, Ed Lorenz, back in the early 60s. He was looking at the equations of fluid flow, which describe weather dynamics. And he noticed that through his computer simulations, when he would restart his simulations in different conditions, after some short period of time, the system would end up in a very different configuration.
What would be a specific project you would be working on, something that you're doing right now?
Well, one of the things we're interested in now is trying to understand how information flows in chaotic systems. So you imagine you have some system with many different pieces in it, such as electronic circuit with different transistors and logic gates hooked together. And what we're interested in tracking is how information flows through this system and by monitoring how the circuits amplify and attenuate voltages and information.
And so they're flowing. And so is it going to be different because it's chaotic? Is it not going to be as predictable? What about it's going to be different from a non-chaotic way of looking at it?
Well, it's computing, as in what happens on our desktops and laptops. It's interesting that the devices that do computing for us are inherently chaotic. They have to be. If they were to just go to equilibrium and stop, they wouldn't be doing anything useful for us. So you can even think of your computer as a programmed chaotic device that is supposed to produce information that you want to have at your hand. So, for example, when you're doing your taxes and you finally hit enter and Excel tells you that you owe $1,500, it actually had to do some interesting information processing, but harnessing in a very particular way the nonlinearities in the circuits to do the information processing you wanted.
But of course, you don't want this other thing that people think is going to be there, which is an inherent unpredictability that when people think of chaos, that's what they think of. You don't want that in a computer.
Right. In a computer, we want, in some sense, the physical substrate to be programmable and do what we want. Whereas in nature, we don't have that level of control, and therefore things like the weather, which we can't control on a large scale, seems unpredictable to us.
So now, how about some of the implications for society? Maybe some of the things that are going on at the school this week and so forth?
Right. So the modern use of these ideas, information flow and instability and chaos, are being explored in our workshop here at the Telluride Science Research Center in a workshop we titled Information Engines. So what we've done is sort of recast the notion from the Industrial Revolution, that where you have a heat engine that converts thermal disorganized energy to useful work to drive your factories. Now we're looking at the information age, how information can be added to a heat engine to make an information engine that's more efficient.
Okay. And so what kinds of things might people talk about when they talk about adding that? Because I saw that there were some bio projects even.
Right. So I guess the examples I've used are kind of engineering-oriented, but in fact, the way we're thinking about information engines is giving us new insight into biological processes. One of the fascinating things about biology is that they're physical thermal systems, but in fact, they do interesting functionality, and they process information. So we have both people in biology and in physics and chemistry here trying to understand how their favorite kinds of systems in biology, chemistry, and physics store and process information. We have very new insights that let us understand how systems store and process information to do useful things.
And so you have one example that somebody's doing something that somebody might actually see in the 10 years.
Well, one of the wilder ideas that's come about is thinking about a smart material that as on the microscopic scale, they were energy fluctuations. It was so smart, it could ratchet in useful fluctuations. So one consequence of that would be having a piece of material that was actually a self-charging battery. When it drained down, you'd stick it on your desk, and after a while, it would have taken all the disorganized energy and recharged itself.
Now, of course, it can't get something for nothing.
Right. So that's the second law. And so there's some limitations here that we're working around. But the new insight is that we can think of information as a thermodynamic resource.
Jim, thanks very much for stopping by today.
Happy to do it.
This is Dave Cornelison for STEM Spots signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.